Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we talked about insurance strategies, the types of coverage every real estate investor needs, and how to structure comprehensive protection. Today, we're diving into legal structures and asset protection. How you structure your real estate holdings has profound implications for liability protection, tax efficiency, financing options, and operational flexibility. The right structure protects your personal assets from lawsuits, optimizes your tax situation, and positions you for growth. The wrong structure leaves you exposed to catastrophic liability and creates unnecessary tax burdens. Today, we're covering the main legal structures for real estate investors, the pros and cons of each, how to structure your portfolio as it grows, and advanced asset protection strategies. By the end of this episode, you'll understand how to structure your real estate investments to maximize protection and minimize risk. Let's start with the most basic structure, holding properties in your personal name. Holding properties in your personal name. Many new investors hold their first property in their personal name, no LLC, no corporation, just their individual name on the deed. This is the simplest structure. There's no entity formation, no annual fees, no separate tax returns. But it's also the riskiest structure. When you hold property in your personal name, you have unlimited personal liability. If someone is injured on your property and sues you, they can go after all your personal assets, your home, your savings, your other properties, everything. One lawsuit on one property can wipe out your entire net worth. The only advantage of holding property in your personal name is simplicity and lower upfront costs. But the risk far outweighs these minor benefits. As soon as you acquire your first rental property, you should hold it in a protective entity, not your personal name. Single-member LLCs. The most common structure for individual real estate investors is the single-member limited liability company, or LLC. An LLC is a legal entity that separates your personal assets from your business assets. If someone sues your LLC over a property it owns, they can only go after the assets of that LLC, not your personal assets. This is called the corporate veil, a legal barrier between your business and personal assets. Single-member LLCs are relatively simple to form. You file articles of organization with your state, pay a filing fee typically between $100 and $500, and you're done. Most states also require annual reports and fees, typically $50 to $500 per year. For tax purposes, single-member LLCs are disregarded entities. The IRS treats them as if they don't exist. All income and expenses flow through to your personal tax return on Schedule E. This means no separate tax return for the LLC, which keeps things simple. The main advantage of single-member LLCs is liability protection. Your personal assets are protected from lawsuits against the LLC. The main disadvantage is that single-member LLCs offer weaker protection than multi-member LLCs. Courts are more willing to pierce the corporate veil of single-member LLCs, especially if you don't maintain proper formalities. Despite this limitation, single-member LLCs are still far better than holding property in your personal name. Multi-member LLCs. Multi-member LLCs have two or more members, owners. The liability protection is stronger than single-member LLCs because courts are less willing to pierce the corporate veil when multiple parties are involved. Multi-member LLCs also offer charging order protection in most states. If a creditor gets a judgment against you personally, they can't force the LLC to distribute assets. They can only get a charging order, which entitles them to distributions if and when the LLC makes them. This makes your LLC assets much harder for creditors to reach. The disadvantage of multi-member LLCs is complexity. You need an operating agreement that defines each member's rights and responsibilities. For tax purposes, multi-member LLCs are taxed as partnerships by default, which requires filing a separate partnership tax return, Form 1065. This adds complexity and cost, typically $500 to $2,000 per year in additional accounting fees. Many investors create multi-member LLCs by adding a spouse or family member as a small minority owner, often 1% to 2%. This converts a single-member LLC to a multi-member LLC, providing stronger protection while maintaining control. Series LLCs. Some states, including Delaware, Texas, Illinois, and a few others, allow series LLCs. A series LLC is a single LLC that contains multiple internal series, each of which can hold different assets and have separate liability protection. Think of it as one umbrella LLC with multiple sub-LLCs underneath it. The advantage is that you form and maintain one entity, paying one set of formation and annual fees, but get liability protection for multiple properties. If someone sues over a property in Series A, they can only go after assets in Series A, not Series B, C, or D. This provides liability protection between properties while reducing administrative burden and cost. The disadvantages are that series LLCs are relatively new and untested in court. Not all states recognize them, and they add complexity to financing and operations. Banks and lenders are often unfamiliar with series LLCs and may be reluctant to lend to them. Series LLCs can be a good option for investors in states that allow them, but they're not a silver bullet. Holding companies and subsidiary LLCs. As your portfolio grows, you might use a holding company structure. In this structure, you create a parent LLC, the holding company, that owns multiple subsidiary LLCs, each of which owns one or more properties. The holding company doesn't own properties directly. It only owns the subsidiary LLCs. This creates multiple layers of liability protection. If someone sues a subsidiary LLC over a property, they can only go after that subsidiary's assets, not the holding company or other subsidiaries. This structure also provides operational benefits. The holding company can provide management services, handle accounting, and centralize operations. The disadvantage is increased complexity and cost. You're forming and maintaining multiple entities, each with its own formation fees, annual fees, and potentially separate tax returns. This structure typically makes sense once you have 10 or more properties and significant equity to protect. Corporations, S-corps and C-corps. Some investors use corporations, either S-corporations or C-corporations, to hold real estate. Generally, this is not recommended for holding rental properties. Corporations don't offer better liability protection than LLCs, and they have significant tax disadvantages. When a corporation sells property, it pays corporate tax on the gain. Then, when you distribute the proceeds to yourself, you pay personal tax on the distribution. This is double taxation. LLCs avoid this because they're pass-through entities. Income is only taxed once at the personal level. Additionally, corporations can't use 1031 exchanges to defer capital gains taxes on property sales. LLCs can. The only time corporations make sense for real estate is if you're operating an active real estate business, like property management, real estate development, or house flipping, rather than holding rental properties. For rental properties, stick with LLCs. Trusts. Some investors use trust as part of their asset protection strategy. A trust is a legal arrangement where a trustee holds assets for the benefit of beneficiaries. There are many types of trusts, but the most relevant for real estate investors are revocable living trusts and irrevocable trusts. Revocable living trusts are commonly used for estate planning. You transfer assets into the trust, maintain control during your lifetime, and the assets pass to beneficiaries upon your death without going through probate. However, revocable trusts provide no asset protection during your lifetime because you maintain control. Creditors can reach assets in a revocable trust. Irrevocable trusts provide stronger asset protection because you give up control. Once assets are transferred to an irrevocable trust, they're no longer legally yours, so creditors generally can't reach them. The trade-off is that you lose control. You can't take assets back out of an irrevocable trust. Trusts are complex and expensive to set up and maintain. They typically make sense only for high net worth investors with significant assets to protect. For most investors, LLCs provide adequate protection without the complexity and cost of trusts. Land trusts. Land trusts are a special type of trust used specifically for holding real estate. In a land trust, the trustee holds legal title to the property, but you retain all beneficial interest and control. The main advantage of land trusts is privacy. The property is titled in the name of the trust, not your name, so your ownership isn't publicly visible. Land trusts also make it easier to transfer property without triggering due-on-sale clauses in mortgages. However, land trusts provide no liability protection. If someone sues over the property, they can reach the beneficial interest, which is you. For this reason, land trusts are often used in combination with LLCs. The LLC is the beneficiary of the land trust, providing both privacy and liability protection. Land trusts are most commonly used in states like Illinois and Florida, where they're well established. How many properties per LLC? A common question is how many properties to hold in each LLC. The conservative approach is one property per LLC. This provides maximum liability protection because a lawsuit over one property can't reach other properties. The disadvantage is cost and complexity. If you have 20 properties, you're forming and maintaining 20 LLCs. A more practical approach for most investors is to group properties strategically. You might hold 3 to 5 properties per LLC, grouping properties by location, property type, or equity level. For example, you might have one LLC for properties in Texas, another for properties in Alabama, and another for properties in Louisiana. Or you might have one LLC for properties with significant equity and another for properties with little equity. The goal is to balance liability protection with administrative efficiency. As a general rule, never hold more than 5 to 7 properties in a single LLC, and never hold properties with significantly different equity levels in the same LLC. If one property has $500,000 in equity and another has $50,000, put them in separate LLCs. You don't want a lawsuit over the low equity property to expose the high equity property. Maintaining the corporate veil. Simply forming an LLC isn't enough. You must maintain proper formalities to preserve liability protection. If you don't maintain the corporate veil, courts can pierce it and hold you personally liable. Here's what you need to do. First, keep business and personal finances completely separate. Open a separate bank account for each LLC. Never commingle personal and business funds. Second, maintain proper records. Keep meeting minutes, resolutions, and documentation of major decisions. Third, file annual reports and pay annual fees on time in every state where you're registered. Fourth, use the LLC name on all documents, contracts, and communications. Sign documents as your name, manager of ABC Properties LLC, not just your name. Fifth, maintain adequate capitalization. Don't strip all cash out of the LLC. Keep reasonable reserves. Sixth, have a written operating agreement for each LLC, even single-member LLCs. Seventh, file separate tax returns if required for multi-member LLCs. If you fail to maintain these formalities, courts may disregard your LLC and hold you personally liable. Equity stripping. An advanced asset protection strategy is equity stripping, reducing the equity in your properties to make them less attractive targets for lawsuits. The idea is that if a property has little or no equity, there's nothing for a creditor to take, so they're less likely to sue. One way to strip equity is through liens. You can place a lien on your property in favor of another entity you control, like a holding company or family LLC. This lien reduces the apparent equity in the property, making it a less attractive target. Another way is through mortgages. Instead of paying down mortgages aggressively, you maintain higher loan balances to reduce equity. You can also use cash-out refinancing to pull equity out of properties and move it to protected accounts or entities. Equity stripping is a sophisticated strategy that requires careful planning and legal guidance. Done incorrectly, it can be considered fraudulent conveyance and backfire. Charging order protection. In most states, LLCs provide charging order protection. If a creditor gets a judgment against you personally, they can't force your LLC to distribute assets or sell property. They can only get a charging order, which entitles them to receive distributions if and when the LLC makes them. As the manager of the LLC, you control when and whether to make distributions. If you don't make distributions, the creditor gets nothing. Even better, in many states, the creditor is responsible for paying taxes on their share of the LLC's income, even if they receive no distributions. This is called phantom income, and it makes charging orders very unattractive to creditors. Charging order protection is strongest in multi-member LLCs and weakest in single-member LLCs. Some states, like Wyoming and Nevada, have particularly strong charging order protection laws. Domestic asset protection trusts. For very high net worth investors, domestic asset protection trusts, or DAPs, provide an additional layer of protection. DAPs are irrevocable trusts established in states with strong asset protection laws, like Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, and Alaska. You transfer assets into the trust, and after a waiting period, typically 2 to 4 years, those assets are protected from future creditors. Unlike traditional irrevocable trusts, DAPs allow you to be a beneficiary of the trust, so you can still benefit from the assets. DAPs are complex and expensive to set up and maintain, typically costing $5,000 to $15,000 initially and $1,000 to $5,000 per year in ongoing fees. They're typically only worthwhile for investors with several million dollars in assets to protect. Offshore asset protection. The strongest asset protection comes from offshore structures, entities and trusts established in foreign jurisdictions with strong asset protection laws. Jurisdictions like the Cook Islands, Nevis, and Belize have laws specifically designed to protect assets from U.S. creditors and judgments. Offshore structures are extremely complex, expensive, and subject to significant reporting requirements. They're only appropriate for very high net worth individuals with tens of millions of dollars to protect. For most real estate investors, domestic structures like LLCs and domestic asset protection trusts provide adequate protection. Your action plan. This week, I want you to do 3 things. First, assess your current structure. How are your properties currently held? Are they in your personal name, in LLCs, or in other entities? Second, identify gaps. Are any properties held in your personal name that should be in LLCs? Do you have too many properties in a single LLC? Third, create a plan to improve your structure. What entities do you need to form? What properties need to be transferred? What will it cost? Write this down and create a timeline to implement improvements. Final thoughts. Legal structure and asset protection are critical components of real estate investing. The right structure protects your personal assets from lawsuits, optimizes your tax situation, and positions you for growth. Never hold rental properties in your personal name. Always use protective entities. For most investors, single-member or multi-member LLCs provide the best combination of protection, simplicity, and tax efficiency. As your portfolio grows, consider more sophisticated structures like holding companies with subsidiary LLCs or series LLCs. Maintain the corporate veil by keeping finances separate, maintaining proper records, and following formalities. Consider advanced strategies like equity stripping and charging order protection for additional protection. Work with a qualified attorney who specializes in real estate and asset protection to design the right structure for your situation. Don't cut corners on legal structure. The cost of proper structuring is minimal compared to the cost of a lawsuit that wipes out your wealth. Take time this week to assess your current structure, identify gaps, and create a plan to improve your protection. This is one of the most important investments you can make in your real estate business. That wraps up our month on risk management and portfolio protection. Next month, we're diving into scaling strategies, how to grow your portfolio efficiently and sustainably. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, Financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.